This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, end zone. Yeah! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again. Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots host Ray Lewis and the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
The Raven, ever flitting, still is sitting, still is sitting. On the pallet was the palace just above my chamber door.
Second and goal at the Ravens' 6-yard line. Brady takes the snap. Back to throw. Better pull the trigger in a hurry. He does. Touchdown right over the middle.
You know, it's certainly a privilege to participate in this game, AFC Championship game. You know, the Ravens are a great football team.
Flacco awaiting the shotgun snap. He's got it. It's the handoff to Ray Rice, and he's blocked for a loss. Flacco in play action. Back to throw. Fires up the field. It's intercepted at the 40. 35-30. Right side. 25-20. 15 to the 10. And inside the 10 and out of bounds at about the 4-yard line for the Patriots is Steve Gregory.
Yeah, you know, the fans, we got great fans, always coming out high energy. You know, it's going to be another, huge game here in Gillette. So I think that everyone's going to be, jacked up.
Third down and 16 for the Ravens. Crowd at Foxborough whooping it up. Snap to Flacco. Back to throw. Steps up. Going to be hit. Going to be sacked. Back at the 10-yard line. Vincent Wilfork was there with Rob Ninkovich.
I think we're two emotional teams, so stuff happens out there, and you just always have to be smart about it. You can take it a little ways. You just got to make sure you never take it too far.
At the Baltimore 45, Brady and the quarterback sneak to the left, slides for the first down to the 42-yard line.
There you go.
Behind the center.
And he has words for Ray Lewis.
You know it's going to be a physical game. They like to go in there and play football the way it's supposed to be played. You know, they go in there, they want to run the ball, play action shots. We love playing against these guys. We know it's going to be a battle.
Fourth and goal. Brady calling signals. Brady leaps into the end zone. Touchdown! Right over the top and into the end zone. And the Patriots regain the lead.
Be ready to play our best on Sunday. I think that's what it's going to take.
First down, Baltimore. Play action fake by Flacco. Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35. 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore. And out of bounds on the far side of the field.
I think our record for itself in the past 10 years kind of speaks for itself as far as how we've won and been successful. So again, there's always going to be people out there wanting us to not continue to win. But that's just the way it is.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. It's AFC Championship weekend, so we step up the production value a little bit. Nice work by Kevin Collins.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to fight.
Here on
I'm like Rocky. I'm running up the steps. I'm swinging.
We got a little over
ready
2 hours.
Ready to punch Paul right in the face.
A little over 2 hours from kickoff.
Now I can. I couldn't the first time, but now I can.
Am I on?
Yes.
Okay.
Good start. Good start to the pregame social here.
We saved our best for last.
Paul's in mid-game form.
Paul's just looking forward to Ray Lewis outside.
Paul's
screaming.
Like the Patriots defense when Ray Rice took the handoff and went 80.
My mic is on. I wanted to give Kevin some credit for finding all those defensive highlights against Baltimore.
Instead, you said, is my mic on?
Is my mic
can
on?
Anybody hear me?
No one could hear me. That wasn't sarcastic. They had 500-something yards of offense the last time we played. And it's touchdown
so about,
Niners.
About 2 hours
I'm picking
away.
Up right where I left off last week
from
with my play-by-play.
Can't wait.
Championship game. We got a 17-14 game, at least, if the Niners execute the extra point. In the NFC Championship game, we'll keep you up to speed on that. What?
Who says that? Do they teach you that in broadcast school?
I think I read that in a book somewhere.
Niners
yes.
Execute the extra point.
If they can kick it through the uprights, it'll be a 3-point game. But anyway, this Patriots Ravens matchup, we've seen them play in Week 3. We saw them play in the AFC Championship game last season. They tend to be tight, close games historically between these two teams. Why is that the case?
I think they're two pretty good football teams who know each other well. And I think it's, you know, Jets or Dolphins or these games where they play each other a couple times a year and they have decent coaching, decent players, especially in this series. I mean, a lot of the guys that are key, the quarterback, the linebacker who's setting the defense, the guys on the front, Ed Reed, there are a lot of the same pieces in place. And I think that leads to division-like battles out there. And, you know, there's not a lot of tricks, and you got to slug it out and make plays to win.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the point that Andy brings up about the familiarity with the two teams, you see that with division opponents all the time, and you see, like, well, you never know, it's a division game, they know you really well. Well, that's when there's a big gap in talent, and sometimes it's still pretty close. You know, like the game against Miami, the first one down in Miami, that's a closer-than-anticipated 23-16 kind of game. Well, when you have two teams that are pretty evenly matched when it comes to talent, like Baltimore and New England, and they've played now, whatever it is, five times in 4 years, or, you know, this would be the third playoff matchup since 09, I think it lends itself to some pretty close games.
How much of a factor is week three in this matchup?
I think very little.
Yeah.
I think these teams are so totally different now, both of them. I know in New England, we fixated on how different the Patriots are. The whole secondary is different. McCourty went from corner to safety. Dennard is in there for Arrington. Tlaib is replacing McCourty. And Chung and Arrington are backups now. Whole different cast of characters. But at the same time, the Ravens are totally different, too.
New offensive coordinator.
New offensive coordinator. They have done wonders with the offensive line. But defensively, they lost a lot of their starters, went through a whole transformation, and now they've started to get them back. So this isn't really the defense that they saw either. There's no Ladarius Webb. Ray Lewis, and there was no Terrell Suggs in that game. Ray Lewis has been out of the lineup for 10 weeks and then back since that game. So both sides have totally different game. I'd be surprised to see a very similar pattern to the game as we saw that one. You know, really very little defense on either side. I'd be surprised to see a game like that today.
What role does that week play, or that week three loss, 31-30 play?
I don't think a lot. I mean, it plays into what I said earlier, just the familiarity, more tape, more experience against each other. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of differences on both sides. You know, how they're playing. You know, these teams have gone through ups and downs since then. You know, certainly the Ravens in December were on a major down, and now I think they're on a pretty good up tilt over the last couple weeks. And we've talked about that all year. It's in this year with these teams that are all so flawed seemingly, it's about playing your best football at the right time and kind of conjuring up your best games when you need them most. And, you know, the Ravens have done that the last couple of weeks. The Patriots certainly did it last week. But, you know, I think this is going to be a far more competitive battle. And we'll see if they are ready to maintain. Because, you know, these games have been so close, but the Patriots have won them all. And, I think the Ravens need to get over that hump and say, we're not just going to be close. We're going to come in there and we're going to finish the deal every time we play you now. We're not happy to just be close and win one here on a field goal or whatever. We're going to take charge at the end of the game. And I think there's a lot of reason to believe in that if you're a Ravens fan. I mean, first and foremost, you don't have Billy Cundiff as your kicker anymore.
Well, two areas that they've addressed is that third receiver spot. They have Jacoby Jones now over Lee Evans, who got the ball knocked away from him by Sterling Moore in the end zone in last year's championship game. And you mentioned the kicker. So the Ravens,
I mean, Justin Tucker,
going back a year.
Yeah. I mean, what he did last week, 30 of 33 on the season. If you're a Ravens fan, as much as you don't want to see it come down to that, I think you have to feel a lot better about that and say, okay, Justin, this is our guy. He's going to do it right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I mean, no one goes into a game saying, I hope this comes down to a last-second field goal, make or break.
Right.
You know, no one wants
but
that on either side.
But in this series, it could.
But
it very well could.
Yeah, but I think if you're the Ravens, you'd probably be pretty confident, you know, inside of, say, 40 yards or 45 yards. It's tough. You know, in the conditions like this, I don't think you're going to see any bombs being made. There's a lot of wind here we should probably point out.
Yeah, did you hear what Flacco said about it?
No.
Blows.
I shouldn't have chuckled at that. I shouldn't encourage him. You're right. Paul gave me a look like, what are you doing? You know, like when your parents give you that kind of look for egging people on or whatever, that's the look.
No, but it is going to be an issue. It's a gusty wind, and I don't know what it's going to be doing in the stadium. Outside the stadium, it's sort of coming from the west or across the stadium. But once it gets in, I don't know what it's going to be doing swirling in there. So it's going to be a very interesting weather to deal with.
Who's that favor?
Nobody.
I think it favors the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't think it favors anybody.
Because I think the Ravens like to get the ball deep downfield. The Patriots don't. Patriots can throw the ball in wind because Brady's, a lot of his passes are at or around the line of scrimmage. And I think you can, unless it's ridiculous wind, I don't think it's going to be overly affecting the Patriots' passing game. But when you throw the ball 40 yards downfield, I don't care how strong your arm is, and Flacco can throw the ball through wind. I know he can, but if it's 30-mile-an-hour winds and it's swirling like Andy talked about, the possibility of that, I think it's hard to be overly accurate deep down the field with a lot of wind.
Yeah, I think it could hurt both passing games because I do think if it's uncertain, I think it's one thing to be in Buffalo a couple years ago and you know it's just flat out windy.
Yeah,
I can't really throw it.
You can't throw in that period.
But if it's letting up, and the Patriots are certainly a pass first team, despite what Pete Shepard is trying to pound into everybody about how great their running game is, and the national people gave him no respect all year. They're a pass first team running game, yes. But if it's inconsistent, those are the ones you worry about. All
really
of a sudden,
his own fault for listening to that, really, is
what?
I tried it twice
today, and there was two different sentences.
Dale Earnhardt died.
And on my ride in, two sentences, I clicked it off.
He drove me away, and I ended up on your station, 98.5.
There you go.
Flynn.
Joe,
I was flinning.
Big thank you to Pete Shepard.
Does that ever, make you, because you're in the same business as him, and at some point you're probably like, I got a radio show in Boston, and then you're like, that guy's got a radio show in Boston. Is it really that impressive?
I mean, I think about stuff
apparently they'll let monkeys who can't speak do it.
I think about that kind of stuff all the time. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. We'll get on your phone calls, your thoughts at 508-298-0398. But you just heard him coughing over there in the poll center. Let's head over there. What do you got, LePan?
How are we doing today, Adam?
Sick in the poll center.
I'm okay.
Today's first poll, who will be the X Factor today? Brandon Lloyd, Jacoby Jones, Shane Vereen, Paul Kruger, Aqib Talib, or Kerry Williams?
I'm going to go Paul Kruger.
Nobody agrees with me.
I know, because they're idiots, but I think you want to get after Brady a little bit with a little pass rush there. He's been their best pass rusher this year. He's come on. Now, I'm not buying him because I saw somewhere where he's looking for $9 to $10 million a year as a free agent after this season. I have no interest in that, but I think for today, they're going to have to get some pressure on Brady.
And, big game today could get him that money.
That's true. And if he has a big game today, he'll earn that money because if you catapult your team into the Super Bowl with a big performance, that's worth something. But I think he could be a guy that's an issue in this game for the Patriots. Paul?
I think that the Brandon Lloyd-Kerry Williams matchup on the outside is something that's sort of under the radar and I think could go a long way because Andy talked about the passing game for the Patriots could be affected in wind as well, and that would be an area that could be affected outside the numbers if you had to get the ball downfield at all. I like Baltimore's chances keeping things around the line of scrimmage in a box, inside the numbers and short. They need someone to make some plays, the Patriots do, and Brandon Lloyd to me is the biggest candidate for that, and I think they'll let Kerry Williams cover him because I think you're going to try to do your best to take away Welker and Hernandez. I think the opportunities for Brandon Lloyd will be there and opportunities for Kerry Williams will be there as well. Touchdown, Falcons.
And that's accurate play-by-play by Paul Perillo, by the way. They get another touchdown here right before halftime.
Now, assuming they get the execution of the extra point.
Assuming they execute the extra point correctly, it'll be whatever it'll be, 24-14. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. On Brandon Lloyd,
Bill Belichick doing play-by-play. It'll be whatever it'll be.
Here's what it is.
On Brandon Lloyd, he's had some of his better games against the better defenses they've gone against. Seattle, 80-plus yards, 100 yards against the Ravens, over 100 against the Texans, or at least against the Niners, and a good game against the Texans as well in the regular
season.
That's
good for the Patriots. Every time they lose, he plays well.
But
you got a nice trend there.
But why is that? Is that teams taking away the better options? Is it just the Patriots looking to him more against some of those defenses? Why has he popped up against some of those better defenses?
I think it's what you said first, that the other teams target Welker and Hernandez and the other options and say, we'll let Brandon Lloyd beat us if that's what it takes. He's the last poison we're going to try to have the antidote for. And as you just so eloquently put it, they didn't care. You know, they said, we'll let that poison beat us, and that poison didn't beat them. And I would do the same thing. To me, you know, we talked a little bit about this. If I'm the other team and your wild card in the game is you're going to beat me with Brandon Lloyd, so be it. If I lose to you and Brandon Lloyd, I'm not going to let Welker and Hernandez and Brady and those guys beat me. I know that is the strength of your team. I'm taking that away. If I lose to Lloyd, I lose to Lloyd.
I agree 100%. I think that the teams that have been good enough
he's your
to sort of slow down Welker. No, but you asked the reason why Lloyd's best games have come against Seattle, Baltimore, Houston. I think that the teams that have been good enough to sort of make you do it a little bit different than you want to do it have allowed Brandon Lloyd to go ahead and make plays. I think in general, it hasn't been enough to win games. Now, I think they tried. I think the Jets in the first game is one that they tried to have Brandon Lloyd be that guy, the Patriots, and he just couldn't do it. He couldn't make the plays. And the offense was stymied for a lot of that game as a result. And I think Seattle, you know, they didn't really play very well offensively in that game. And I didn't really remember Lloyd having, you know, until you said that, that, you know, clearly I remember the San Francisco second half. He had a big second half that night in the Houston games. Houston didn't take away anything, I probably should add. And the Welker had a big game, too. But Brandon Lloyd, to me, is a guy that if he has a bad game, you know, if he has one of those seven targets, three receptions for 30 yards, I think the Patriots are going to be in trouble. I think the Patriots are going to need to find somebody to help Welker and Hernandez put points on the board.
Well, what about Shane Vereen?
Could be.
The newfound superstar, Shane Vereen. Didn't I see Ellerby chasing somebody for a long touchdown last week? Who got over the top?
No, okay. Sean Moreno.
Right, down the right side.
And this is another aspect of this game is linebackers covering. Andy and I have been talking about this all week, too. Both sides. But the Ravens linebackers in particular, I think, are weak in coverage, and I think those are matchups that can be exploited by the Patriots running backs.
I'm more likely to buy that he can be the X factor to help them in the passing game as sort of that extra guy than I think I am Lloyd. I think Lloyd is what he is at this point. I find it hard to believe that I'm going to be saying, "Woo, Brandon Lloyd, that's why you got him. Just got you to a Super Bowl." I'm not buying.
Could Vereen be like, excuse me, could Vereen be like Hillman for Denver last week, that change of pace kind of back that comes in, picks up big chunks of yards at one time?
And they lose.
And,
and they lose.
No. He meant as the Broncos.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I look at that running game for the Patriots.
Well, his whole point was Lloyd should do something, and they lose when he does anything. So you guys are all picking losers.
I look at the Patriots running game, and they just seem more committed to it now than they did week three. Like, that was McDaniels' third game as offensive coordinator.
34 attempts they had that night. I don't think you can commit to it much more than that.
But it was Woodhead game. I mean, Woodhead's the guy who had all the snaps. I think if you're not committed to the running game, if you're not going to buy that, I think they're more committed to Ridley at this point in the season. What do they do at running back today?
Well, I think Ridley, yeah, is the guy. First of all, Paul and I were talking about this off the air. Woodhead with the thumb and that brace, whatever he's been wearing all week, to me, that's a bit of a concern for a guy who's already undersized. So it's not like he has these long arms that secure the ball. And to have ball security concerns with him, now I know, okay, he could just hold it in the other hand, but to me, that creates issues in your mind that you worry that he's not his usual sure-handed self. So I think he might be more of a complementary factor, if at all. And I think this is Ridley and Vereen's game. I think you're seeing the young guys, you're seeing the future, the position is now the present, and they're going to have to contribute. You're not winning this game with nothing out of the backfield. You're not winning this game, you know, they can't only contribute in the fourth quarter in some 4-minute drive to close the game. They're going to have to be somewhat balanced, in my opinion, on offense, especially if the wind is an issue and don't quite have the timing in the passing game and all that crap. I think the running back's going to have to contribute.
And look,
it's the young guys.
The Ravens can be run on. I think that's one thing that we've seen consistently with that Ravens defense. I remember sitting here when the Cowboys were gouging them for 240 yards or whatever
it was. It's been a terrible defense all season long. And I don't know how much of that is due to all the injuries, but whatever. I mean, statistically, it's been a bad defense. They've allowed, I'm just looking here, 123 yards, I'm sorry, on the ground. That's unheard of for Baltimore Ravens defense that went years without allowing a single 100-yard rusher. Now, that's commonplace.
They're a little Patriots-like. Their yards are terrible, but
their red zone is good.
Their red zone is phenomenal. They're number 2 in the league in red zone and number 7 in the league in third down. So, you know, it's kind of weird. You go, well, how do they give up so many yards if they're pretty good on third down? Apparently, they're not very good on first and second down because people aren't getting to third down. And points-wise, a little bit more than the Patriots. I think they finished 12th, gave up like 10 or 11 more points total on the season. But they're not really, you know, a great points defense or dominant in that area. But to me, when I look at the Patriots, that's the if you're going to beat the Patriots, you have to be good in the red zone, you have to be good on third down. And that's been their strength as a defense all season. And I think red zone you can point to a little bit of, you know, maybe it's easier for Reed and Lewis and those guys to kind of get it done in a smaller area, not as much field and all that. You know, this is obviously just sort of philosophy.
Sure.
But if they can do that, and I've said this all week, you know, my boss Fred Kirsch sort of poo-pooed that Gronkowski's not this huge loss. I think it's a big loss.
Because on third down in the red zone, I'd like to have Rob Gronkowski on the field. Certainly in the red zone, where he's been phenomenal for Brady for 3 years. I think, to me, that's the matchup to sort of watch. The third down red zone, you know, that's obvious. It's always a big part of offense-defense matchups. But that's a strength of the Ravens' defense. It's a strength of the Patriots' offense. Whichever strength wins that is probably going to win the game.
And the Gronkowski absence, to me, I'm with Andy on this one. This is huge, I think. It doesn't mean that Patriots can't move the ball and score points. Because we know they can. We know they went five, whatever it was. Was it 5-1 without Gronkowski?
Counting basically last week, yes.
So we know that they can still score points without him. But that's kind of why I think Brandon Lloyd's important. If you don't have anybody to get any worry in Ed Reed or anybody on the Ravens secondary of him getting behind you, it makes it hard. Like, you know, last week, Knowshon Moreno did make a couple of plays in the passing game against those Ravens linebackers, but they had Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker on the outside the numbers kinds of guys. Thomas in particular is a deep threat. So you did have to respect that, and that opens up other things. If the Patriots don't have Gronkowski, if Lloyd is irrelevant, then you don't have anything to be concerned about, and all of a sudden everybody is around the line of scrimmage. Makes it harder to run the ball, makes it harder to throw the ball downfield, makes it harder to hit little crossing routes to Welker and maybe to Vereen on a little swing pass because there's more congestion there, and I think the Ravens also do a pretty good job of tackling. I don't think the Ravens defense is capable of shutting down the Patriots. If the Patriots only have 20 at the end of this game, I'd be very, very surprised. The Ravens defense is not very good. Neither is the Patriots, but the Ravens is worse to me even right now than the Patriots defense is.
But the Patriots forced turnovers. That's what Pete Shepard told me on the pregame show when I was listening to it.
Double check
for Pete Shepard. Except he didn't tell everyone that the Ravens don't turn the ball over that much, that they're ranked the same as the Patriots, 16 turnovers on the season, second fewest in football. He didn't tell me that part. He just said Patriots forced a lot of turnovers.
Well, you just see as soon as you knew it.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I'm assuming he didn't know it. That's what I'm assuming.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. That's the rare triple check, by the way, for Pete Shepard. You can give us a call.
Hey, Rogers!
508-298-0398. That's what our buddy Jeff in Vegas did. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
A lot going on out there. Numbers are dropping. Money is flowing.
Yeah, it's a sign. First of all, kudos to Kevin Collins for that opening. Really got the juices flowing.
It did.
And
I'm ready. Are you ready? You ready to fight somebody?
I'm very ready, and I'm also ready to run on the beach and then jump up and down in the water. After
eat some raw eggs.
With short shorts on and hug another man who's all lubed up.
Jeff and Andy running on the beach together.
One of the worst scenes in movie history.
Speaking of Eric, a nice tweet when he showed the picture of the goalpost being, you know, blown like 30 degrees in the wind.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Caught that tweet. It was actually a rare value.
I don't follow him either.
Yeah,
is that the game goalpost or the practice ones?
Practice field.
Yeah. They're always like
that. I actually did see that.
Speaking of not adding value, I saw somewhere else.
Speaking of not adding value.
That Brian Lowe was coming on the show at some point.
No, that is not accurate.
Today? No.
We don't allow him in here. We only have 2 hours to preview this game, and when he starts babbling, all the time just goes away.
Yeah, I understand completely. As far as the game goes, open New England.
Hot dogs and sausages.
New England by 10 has dropped all the way down to 7.5 in some spaces. Total disrespect for the New England Patriots.
Absolutely.
Complete and utter absolute disrespect. The total, 51.5, has dropped to 50, maybe because of the conditions. I don't think Flacco's moon balls are going to drop safely into Jacoby Jones's or Smith's hands, if you will.
Yeah, no, I certainly think the wind could keep the scoring down, but you never know with these games because it just always seems like stuff happens. You know, all of a sudden Curtis Martin breaks off a long run, or you know they throw it up into the fog, and you know, you see weird things in postseason games that don't necessarily play out like you'd expect them to.
Yeah, good point, Andy. And that will bring us right into, speaking of segues, and I like Pac-Man's executing the extra point, let's execute the Jeff and Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Brought to you by the Eye Candy Dancers. Speaking of juices flowing, by the way.
Speaking of blowing. Whoa, hey now!
In any case, three things. As Fred Kirsch alluded to, the first matchup between the two teams was a big beatdown by the Patriots until the Ravens somehow stole the game that the Patriots did, in fact, dominate and win, essentially.
Essentially, they won.
Two, Paul Perillo had a great point during the week. So Brady has to put together back-to-back good games. If Brady plays well, you know, New England wins today. And then third, the only way Baltimore can compete is if they are, in fact, one of these teams of destiny. Let's say the Giants have been, or the Packers or Saints or even the Steelers. So what we do, we take one-third of the unit, 35 basis points, put it on the Baltimore Raven money line to win the game outright as an insurance play at plus 325. We take New England, giving the 7.5. The Patriots should roll. The only way New England does not win convincingly is if Baltimore and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed are one of these teams of destiny. Lock it in, take the pack, give the points, go with the under 51.5.
All right, we'll book you for lunch later next week. Thanks.
Lock it in.
All right.
Later.
All right, it's our buddy Jeff in Vegas dialing us up. What's your analysis of that?
Your analysis.
What happens if the Patriots win by like four?
Well, how about just not the over-under aspect of it, the fact that they dominated that game, and
well,
that's a reason why they're going to be over.
Clearly, that's a little PFW in progress shtick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Fred thinks they won the game. No, he legitimately thinks they won the game.
Because they were up 30-21.
No, they won.
Oh, because the field
kick
goal
wasn't good.
Because the field goal didn't go through.
Because Vince Wilfork ran down the field and wiped it off.
So,
you know, Belichick grabbed an official and all
so
that.
So it's part like of the shtick. But I mean, clearly, if you, let's just say for argument's sake that the Tucker field goal was no good, mm-hmm, in fact, then you know you won 30-28 on a missed 30-yard field goal on the last play of the game. So clearly, you didn't dominate the game. Both teams sort of were unstoppable offensively that night. I don't expect that to happen. The over/under 51.5. I'm gonna have to go under. I've been saying 27-24 all week.
Just squeaking it in there.
Right.
That's what I've been saying all week, too. I've changed my mind like 8 times. It's going to be 27-24, as I said last year at the AFC title game. I don't know who's going to win.
I
don't know who's going to win, but 27-24, that's your number.
I like
huh?
the Patriots.
So there you go. So you guys are both under.
Well, if it's 51.5.
By a half.
My score prediction would be under, yes.
So I'm over on this one.
Really?
No.
What do you got?
I got 31-28.
Patriots?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. I think you're going to have to score in the 30s, high 20s at the very
least.
So
we all have the Ravens with
game.
The points, though.
Correct. We all have
no
them
matter how low
we all have
the
them
line
covering that line, no matter how many units you buy.
Right.
Let's go back to the phones. 508-298-0398. Tyrone is in Delaware. What do you got, Tyrone?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Yeah, you guys were just talking. Well, my man Paul was just talking about the same thing I've been talking about for 2 years. But on NFL Playbook, I was watching NFL Playbook, and Paul just alluded to Ed Reed. If Ed Reed playing closer to the line of scrimmage, because he worried about nobody getting beat, that would be a little concerning. That's a little concerning. That's what I'm worried about. So I'm watching to see where Ed Reed plays. And what you guys think about all the inactives, or do you think they're going to play? Because last game, Daniel Fields and they didn't play. And one other thing before I go, what you guys think is the Patriots' best? I hope they put Matthew Slater, stretch the field, if anything, to get Ariya occupied. But I'm thinking going into this, if they could, I think the strongest lineup against the Baltimore Ravens is probably going two tight ends, two running backs, Vereen and Ridley, so they always know we're going to run and Wes Welker. But I'm hoping the Patriots win and we see what happens. Talk to you guys later.
All right, well,
thanks,
Tyrone. Thanks for the phone call. So a couple of things there. One, is Fells the only inactive change you'd expect?
I don't know for
Cause
sure.
Because last week we discussed it. I mean,
I don't even
know
for sure if that. I mean, I would expect him to be active. Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't say that that's a lock.
Yeah,
I mean, we've talked about it all week. One of those special teamers, Martin or Williams, could be active after they had such a terrible week on special teams. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys is active. But yeah, no major. Fells and a special teamer, one fills the Gronk spot. Who knows? Nothing major, though.
The second point that he touched on, because we did see some of this in the preseason. And
two running backs?
Yes. By my recollection, we haven't seen any of it in the regular season with Ridley
a little bit.
And Vereen.
You know, individual plays here and there, but I don't – and Andy, you
– as the primary set.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. You remember this stuff a lot better than I do. I don't remember it even for, like, a series.
I would
or
say –
or any length of time.
Absolute most, a dozen plays all year.
Yeah.
And now,
individual
here
and there.
I'm talking about two running backs.
Correct.
Not – Houman or Hernandez one of those guys.
Not a tight end lined up as a fullback or Dan Conley in the backfield.
But Ridley Vereen is something that we saw in the preseason for extended drives and or extended series.
Andy gets very excited anytime they have two actual running backs in the backfield. Training
doesn't
camp
happen that often.
It's a highlight of training camp for Andy Hart. He
well,
gets very
I think
excited.
They're pretty versatile.
Old school football.
And I think
Well, I think you can morph it into new school football. I think you can certainly motion to some spread sets and different things out of it, especially with Vereen. You know, I'm intrigued to see what we get from Vereen this week. A, what they ask him
Eric
to be
Metcalf
out there for.
Eric Metcalf had a big game last week, and it's good to see if he can do that again.
What?
Just like the Vereen thing. Everybody's like, all of a sudden, Indy and I love Vereen, right? We've been on him for 2 years now.
I called him a superstar in the waiting like a month ago, and people made fun of me.
So all of a sudden last week, really,
now he's
for,
a
the,
superstar.
For the first time in 2 years.
He was going down what's-his-name's way.
No, I did not.
Oh, if he was continued to be hurt, he said he is in
Taylor
danger.
Taylor Price way?
Yeah, Taylor Price way.
You were in danger of going down. You absolutely said
I may have said in danger.
He was in danger of going down Taylor Price way.
Just so you know, I thought Taylor Price was a superstar in the waiting.
Right up until he got cut.
And then broke his foot.
But you were saying, I'm Vereen. You guys were on him. You guys were
But we love Vereen. I love some of the things that he can provide. I even went so far as to say the Woodhead injury last week, in my opinion, was a blessing in disguise. I think that some of the things that Vereen did, Danny Woodhead wasn't capable of, and most notably the one down the sideline. I don't think he makes that play. But at the same time, he had 8 catches all year and very few touches overall. So the 3-touchdown game was great. It was a breakout performance, but I think people are sort of penciling him in as known quantity production this week.
No, that's what I'm asking about. I'm
and that's what
say,
I say. Like, I don't, you know,
is he back in a backup role? You know,
yeah,
does he have to
claw
way on the field, or do they see him as any sort of a Gronk fill in for spread sets, mismatches, things of that nature?
Right.
Will they ask him to do nothing, something, a lot? I think he's an intrigue. He could be an X factor in this game. We're going to go to X factors because even if
we have so many X factors, we're going to have to go around the alphabet twice.
No, but to me, Lloyd's production is an X factor. But his role is not an X factor. He's going to line up almost every play.
No.
He's going to be an outside receiver.
We know
he's
exactly
going to fall
what he's
down
do.
After catching the ball. I mean, we know what his role is. But
I agree with
productive.
That.
Brady will give him one death
that
stare.
To me is the
Vereen
X factor. Who
may
wins
have
that
his helmet
battle?
By his side, standing there on the sideline the whole game. Or you could sell me on he has 6 catches for 50 yards and another, you know, 6 carries for 40 yards or something. And he's a big fat. I mean, to me, I have no idea what Vereen's going to be.
I thought you were going to weigh in there on Vereen. 508-298-0398.
No,
you can give your thoughts on the running
backs. He's right about
here.
Vereen because you don't know what Josh McDaniels is going to do. You don't know what Bill Belichick. He had a great
Brian
game last
Dable.
Week, and all of a sudden he's not part of the game plan this week. We've seen that happen so many times.
So what would you do?
Team. You're all worked up because Brian Dable's now in the offensive
meetings.
You want to know what he's going to bring to
just
the
curious,
table.
Just curious. Just asking some questions. Fishing
it's
around.
What they do. When
fishing
they go to Super Bowls, they add a coach who was fired from another team. It's very simple.
What do you want to do with the Patriots running backs, or what do you want the Patriots to do with their running backs in this game? You can weigh in 508-298-0398. Let's go to Paul in Maine. What do you got, Paul?
Hey, I actually got a couple questions for you guys. I got a pitch in with that Vereen suggestion you guys have been making, but do you guys not think Torrey Smith is going to be impacted at all by Tlaib tonight?
I think he'll be impacted. I think he's more impacted by the fact that Devin McCourty will not be covering him, will be playing safety. I think McCourty's looked pretty good at safety. Yeah, because McCourty got torched by him last time.
Yeah, and I would not let Tlaib take him one-on-one all day. Because if he does,
no,
I think he's going to get torched.
Put him up close, you know, jam him so he doesn't get that burner going early.
I mean, Champ Bailey tried that last week. Didn't work very well.
But they didn't give a lot of safety help.
Yeah,
they gave none. That's what I'm saying. I would not do that.
0.0% chance they're going
to
do that.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. I would not let him do the way Champ Bailey tried to jam him all day last week.
Do you guys think that McCourty is a better safety than what they have in the Broncos?
Oh, yeah, then Ridley Moore.
I mean, I can't say anybody.
I just want to ask
you're not answering my – I mean, what I'm saying is last week Denver tried to let Champ Bailey take him one-on-one. Those weren't safety mistakes on Torrey Smith.
The game plan
was Champ Bailey one-on-one. Andy's saying there's 0% chance that Belichick is going to do that. I agree with Andy. He's not going to let Tlaib take him one-on-one.
No, I agree. That's a bad idea. He's got too much leg.
Because if he does let Tlaib do that all by himself with no safety help, he's going to do the same thing.
But if you do that, you're also leaving Anquan Boldin elsewhere. You're also leaving Pitta and Dixon elsewhere. Ray Rice coming out of the backfield. That's the problem. When you feel like you have to double somebody, like you may have to feel like Torrey Smith, it opens things up for everybody else.
What's wrong with you? You're not even catching on to obvious. He's got a lot of length comments. There was no
trying to analyze a football
there
game.
Was no follow-up.
This is not regular season. Sometimes in regular season we
this
screw
is the
around.
NFC Championship game, Jones.
Yeah, no,
this is win or go home.
There's
no tomorrow.
Right
the treadmill could stop immediately. And by the way, it's your last show ever on the PPGS.
I know. I hope it doesn't get too dusty in here.
I still can't believe the $10 that we pay you a week isn't enough to get you in here on a Sunday.
I've been here every Sunday 2 years. Ready.
Yeah, and I can't. I mean, you know,
could come back next year.
Yeah,
come back. Who cares that you have a big time gig?
You know, well, we just like to do games all year, and then potentially not, or pre and post, and then potentially not for the Super Bowl. That's how we're doing it here.
He's taking shots at the production of this place.
Where are we going to do a show at the Super Bowl?
Adam Jones for Fred Kirsch.
Well, I'd be in this studio. I'm sure you guys would be down there. What?
Yeah, but how can we hook up with you? In the Superdome? Where are we going?
Any thoughts on that?
Can we get an ISDN line out of the Superdome, please? We have to do the PPGS. Oh, you don't know what that is?
Oh, wait, that doesn't rank high on the 5,000 media members that are coming from all over the world to cover this?
I mean, Andy was next to Andy Rooney a few years back. God rest his soul.
I didn't say I had to be there. I just said, you know, you guys can be there. It is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. The last of the year, not because we're planning on losing today. The Patriots or anything like that. It's the last one of the season. I will be around while you're working, Andy, for the post-game show as well. We'll get in your phone calls, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Coming up next, we head down to Baltimore and go behind enemy lines on patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. Niners just executed the extra point in that game, so it's a field goal game now in the NFC Championship game.
You still don't know what the score is.
Yeah, what is it? 24-21?
Correct.
Very, yeah, very 3 points. Well, that's the difference in that one. We're talking up to the AFC Championship game here on Patriots.com. Patriots and Ravens, 6:30 Eastern kickoff. And for more on the Ravens, let's go behind enemy lines.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
And to do that, we welcome in Jeff Zrebeck of the Baltimore Sun to Patriots.com. And Jeff, we've discussed that Week 3 win for Baltimore over New England at M&T Bank Stadium, 31-30. In your view, what's the biggest difference in the Ravens from then until now?
I think their offense is probably changed and evolved a little bit. They're much more under Jim Caldwell. They're running the ball a lot more. They're a lot more committed to the run. And even if you're not, and they're not getting, you know, yards early, they've stuck to it. I mean, that's one of the reasons why Cam Cameron was let go. You know, Jim Caldwell's come in and make sure they stuck to that and not sway too far from that, no matter what happens.
Jeff, obviously one of the big storylines in today's game is the weather and the wind and how it affects the passing games. In your opinion, how would Joe Flacco react to this wind, and what's his experience throwing in the wind? What can we expect him to do to adjust on offense?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a huge factor. Obviously, if, you know, taking deep shots down the field, the wind is going to affect you. That's just the bottom line. But, you know, he's a big kid with a strong arm. He played in college at both Delaware and Pittsburgh. He's played here in Baltimore in some cold weather games. He was in Denver last week. I know the wind wasn't, you know, a huge factor in that game, but it was below zero. So he has experience in the wind and cold weather. I wouldn't expect it to be a huge factor, although, you know, if it gets really bad, I think both quarterbacks are going to have to make a little bit of an adjustment.
Jeff, one of the things that we've been talking about all week and we've heard a lot about is the amount of plays that Ravens defense was on the field in both of their playoff wins. How much of a factor? I mean, you're down there with the team. What is your feel? Is this a rejuvenated group despite the heavy workload, or are they going to run into some trouble today if the Patriots speed things up on them? What's your feeling on the state of that Ravens defense?
Yeah, you know, Patriots fans probably are familiar with pretty dominant Ravens defenses, really, you know, good groups who swarms the ball and makes some plays. This is probably the worst defense that the Ravens have had in years, and that's not a criticism, it's just reality. I mean, they were in the mid to high 20s in defense, total defense all year in the NFL. So with Ray Lewis back, Danelle Ellerbee's healthier, Bernard Pollard's healthier, they've gotten some pieces back where they're a more formidable unit than they were for most of the season. But, you know, I think they understand the Patriots are going to be able to move the ball. They're going to pick up yards and they're going to get points, and they're not going to, you know, they don't expect a low-scoring game here. They know they're going to allow some points. New England's offense is way too good, and their defense is not what it was. But so, and everyone's going to struggle with that speed of that offense. If they're not getting off the field, yeah, it's going to become a huge problem. And last week's game against Denver was a grueling game, and I thought Denver probably did itself a disservice not picking it up more, not playing more of an up-tempo, because that would give the Ravens some issues. So that's going to be a big you know, storyline today, to see how well the Ravens handle that and whether they're able to get off the field on third down.
Obviously, one way to get off the field on third down is get some pressure on Brady. And particularly, I want to ask about the stars up front, guys like Nada and Suggs, who are out there but are obviously not 100%. You know, are they at a healthy enough point in this season where they could, you know, kind of bring it together for a big game here? And we're talking post-game about how they controlled the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, you know, if you asked me that question before the Denver game about Terrell Suggs last week, I would have told you no. I mean, he was just invisible for three or four straight weeks. And, you know, he's basically playing on one arm, with one arm and one leg. I mean, he's playing with a torn bicep and an Achilles tear that, you know, he didn't give that. Yeah, he was out a really small amount of time with that type of injury, and he's still working his way back into shape. So, but then he comes out in Denver as 10 tackles and 2 sacks and took it to Ryan Clady, who's one of the best tackles in football. So, he obviously rose to the occasion, not as a guy that is playing with a bad shoulder and a bad knee, has been a shell of himself for much of the season, but he flashes at times too and reminds people that he can be a pretty dominant player if he's right. So you're not going to see, you know, those two players in Pro Bowl form, but they still have the capabilities to make big plays from time to time. They're just not going to dominate the game like they're capable of when they're healthy.
What kind of game plan do you think Baltimore will throw at the Patriots offense? What are some of the things you think they might be able to do to slow them down?
Yeah, I just think they're going to try to mix it up. You know, I think you'll see Ellerbe a lot, trying to come in for some blitzes up the middle, you know, try to get in Brady's face. But I don't think they're going to be blitzing a ton. When they do, I think Ellerbe is their best candidate because he's their fastest linebacker. I think they're going to mix it up. I think that's what you have to do with Tom Brady. If he knows what you're going to do, he'll just pick you apart. Dean Pease obviously knows Brady well, so he knows that if he gets in a comfort zone and you don't change up looks and do different things in disguise, that you don't stand a chance to stop him.
Jeff, we obviously know that Joe Flacco, Ray Lewis, there's plenty of confidence there. These Ravens believe they can come in here today and get the job done. But I'm wondering about the fan base in Baltimore. What is their perspective on this game? And how important is this game to Flacco and Harbaugh and sort of what fans believe about this organization and this team?
It's funny. You know, 4 weeks ago, this team looked like, you know, it was an ultimate one-and-done kind of in the playoffs. I mean, they lost 4 out of 5 heading in. They really, you know, weren't impressive. Haven't played a good all-around football game much other than the one game against the Giants down the stretch. And you know, I wonder how confident the fans were. But after that game, last week, how it went down and just the manner in which they won, I think fans, you know, are in full belief that they could come in here and beat the Patriots. And I think they understand it's going to take the Ravens' best effort, but I think there's some confidence in Baltimore that they could get it done. As for the importance of the game, you know, at some point, you know, they've made the playoffs 5 years in a row. At some point, you got to get over that hump. They understand that. They have a lot of older players. They have a lot of players that are not going to have many more chances at this. You know, Ed Reed's a free agent. He's probably not going to be back. Ray Lewis has already announced his retirement. You know, Matt Burke, their center, been around for a while, could retire at the end of the season. So they know they're not going to get many more shots at this. So, you know, they're here, and they think they have a shot at winning this. So they are. They're a pretty confident team.
Jeff, if you could give me one thing that you would say has to happen if that win is going to occur, what would it be?
I think they have to cause the turnover to you know, to be able to win this game. Because as I said, there's no expectation that they're going to come in here and shut down the Patriots offense. No one would say that. I just think they think they're going to have to limit them, be stingy in the red zone, maybe force field goals instead of Brady touchdowns. And I think they think they're going to have to get a turnover to really set up their offense.
All right, Jeff, before we let you go, how do you see this thing shaking out today?
I was saying earlier, I'm public enemy number one because I picked the Broncos to beat the Ravens by 2 touchdowns last week. So I still haven't been here. I still haven't stopped hearing about that. But I picked the Patriots by 3 or 4 points. I forgot exactly. But I picked them by about a field goal. I just, you know, the Ravens have made you a believer these last couple of weeks with how well they play. But it's really hard to go against Brady and Belichick at home in a big spot.
Jeff Zrebeck of the Baltimore Sun joining us here for The View from Baltimore. Jeff, thanks so much for the time.
Take care, guys. Enjoy the game.
All thanks, right. Jeff.
Jeff Zrebeck joining us here. While we were discussing that in the NFC Championship game, turnover and interception by Matty Ice.
Yes, I believe it was Chris Culliver stepping in front of Roddy White for a big pick. Niners have the ball down 3, decent field position. Matt Ryan remembered he went to BC, and he probably has money on the game, you know, for all I know. Point shaving.
You see the reaction from Perillo? He was fired up.
I haven't seen a move like that ever.
Is that Matt Ryan check?
You missed the game last Thursday night at the Peabody Y in the Old Man's League when we only had 5 guys. I was moving around.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. I thought you meant you were fist pumping.
I wasn't scoring any points, but I was moving around. I told Andy, I missed 2 free throws like in the first 3 minutes of the game. It knocked me off my game the whole rest of the night.
Because normally he's good for 2. So
yeah, you got to stick it
off.
I average at least 2 a game.
Yeah.
So get blinked.
How many shots are we talking? Five?
Oh, a couple. Yeah.
So there you go. That's not bad.
First of all,
that's a nice old man ratio.
But if I ever don't make one
ratio, yeah.
If I ever don't make one of the first two or three I take, I won't shoot anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be the guy like, how many shots is Perillo going to take tonight without making any?
Five blow a layup.
Ain't going
to
be me.
Five blow a layup. I just stop going to the hoop. I'm done.
Yeah. I no longer fill the lane on fast breaks if I miss a layup.
508-298-0398.
But I don't talk trash like you do.
Yeah, I know. That's my forte. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, with your thoughts on this game, Patriots and Ravens. We take you up to it on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Checking some of the emails, web radio. Mark from Cheddar writes in, guys.
Yeah, Mark, thank you for the donation to my fundraising efforts.
Oh, what a guy. What a guy, that Mark in the Cheddar. And over-under for Pat's
Ravens. He really is just like Fred.
What?
He's like, well, how about that Mark in the Cheddar? I mean, he just like throws a random thar in the front of it.
Yeah, I guess I do that. Mark from Cheddar. Excuse me.
He said doo-doo.
Over under. Patriots, Ravens. Reading and math. Not my strong suits. Brady touchdowns.
So he went into sports where he has to read to, you know, do all his reads.
Yeah.
And statistics are a big part of sports.
Besides reading and math, I feel like I got everything covered.
And when you remember to turn the mic on.
Brady touchdowns in this one. 2.89.
Over. 2.89. That just hit me.
I'm going to say under.
Under 2.89. I would agree with Paul on this one. Flacco touchdowns, 1.82.
Over.
Over, I agree. Ridley rush yard, 75.41.
That's a big one.
I'm going to say over.
I'm going to say under.
I say over. I'm with Paul. Lloyd, receiving yards, 31.3.
Over.
If it's not over, the game is over.
Over.
Wait, you act like that's an obvious. What did he have last week, like 30? 34?
No, yeah, average 6.4 yards a catch.
No, I'm saying.
On
but
five catches. He had right at about 31.
I was just saying over. That's all I was saying. McCourty picks, 0.48.
Under.
Under.
I would go under. Chandler Jones, 1.2 sacks.
Under.
Under.
Under. Ninkovich big plays, loosely defined, 2.3. So define it how you want.
Wait, did he actually write loosely
defined? No, I stuck that in there.
I'm going to take the over because I love Rob Ninkovich.
I'm going to take the over too, but that's a lot. Three big plays.
Yeah, but I get to define it, so.
Oh, okay.
It's a big stop right there.
So, in other words,
shoestring tackle, yeah. That's a big play.
Well, I could see it being like, you know, a guy starts running and then he cuts inside Ninkovich and goes for like 30 yards. And he'd be like, he set the edge. He made him cut it back.
Big play.
Linebacker got caught in the wash.
Nick Money.
Just a quick note off Twitter, which, by the way, you can always join us. Join us.
Join us.
And us too.
Join us.
The hash. Tag. I'm having trouble with my shirt.
Sean Connery's favorite program. Yeah.
PPGS. And Bernard Pierce is active for the Ravens despite his knee injury because the Ravens' inactives are out. Asa Jackson, Ramon Harewood, D'Angelo Tyson, Brian Hall, Omar Brown, Adrian Hamilton, and Deontay Thompson.
Yeah, and the Patriots will have a bunch of Malcolm Williams types inactive for this game today. That's my prediction. Though
inaugural award for being inactive the most, he will continue today.
Well, he's practice player of the week, though. You gotta give him that.
Well, if you're not practicing well and you're inactive every game day, you shouldn't be on the team.
Working our way through a few more of these. Vereen offensive snaps over under 25%.
Under.
Push.
Over under.
Push.
Push. All right, I'll go under.
Push your mother.
Number of times.
Big stop for the Falcons.
Number of times that Paul complains about the refs, 23.
Over.
Oh, that's always over. I don't care what the number is, it's always over. What a drop by that dude.
He didn't deflect it? Yeah, he deflected it.
It still hit him in
2-5.
Both
hands. Oh, come on. A man who can't score a single point in an old man basketball league should know that when the ball is deflected,
it makes
it harder to catch.
Because I'm at that level of athleticism where it's the same.
Number of Andy Hart farts during the game, 69.
I'll always go over with that.
Oh, yeah, I'll go over.
I would. Are we counting pregame?
It's already gone over in this show.
I was going to say, if we're counting pregame, we're already approaching that level as the Niners.
He missed it.
I think he
missed a field
it.
Goal from 38 yards out. You know what that means? They did not execute the kick.
They should not have cut Billy Cundiff.
He is a choking dog.
Keep up the great work. That's Mark in the Cheddar, from the Cheddar writing in. And he also adds this one. Guys, next season, now that it's official, I'd like to once again make a formal request to be the new host. I'll start practicing now. Check, 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 and check. And
wait, you're going to laugh at my stupid joke.
That's Mark from Cheddar. Yeah, you do. That is something you have to do as well. So when we look over Joe Flacco and his performances against the Patriots, his ability to throw the deep ball has been a staple thus far in the postseason for the Baltimore Ravens. With the Patriots retooling things, how do you see that battle playing out, the Patriots' defense against the deep ball?
I think they're far more suited to cover it. I mean, you know, I don't think Talib is great. He played his best game, I thought, last week with Andre Johnson, kept everything in front, tackled well. That was the game plan coming in. But the ability or trust they have to allow him to do that, combined with, I think, a pretty solid safety play out of Devin McCourty. I'm not willing to make him a Pro Bowler, which some people are at this point already, but he has shown the ability to sort of drift across the formation, cut in front of a pass, get his hands on it. A couple times he's had hits like that. He's shown that ability to have that range to the sidelines that I think you need if you're going to have Tlaib running with Torrey Smith. So they're far better than they were in week three because McCourty is not covering him, and that has improved the overall secondary. But I still say what I said earlier. Okay, assuming McCourty and Tlaib are doing a good job on Torrey Smith, well, Anquan Boldin is capable at any time of just looking like a beast out there. And I'm sorry, but I don't love a matchup with him on Dennard. You know, I don't feel like that's a great matchup for Dennard, who's a stocky little guy against a guy who's a bigger, taller, physical possession type guy. You know, Steve Gregory. I think there's some interesting matchups from the Ravens' perspective beyond just Torrey Smith can get deep.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that, to me, the only time Flacco ever really doesn't look good is when he's under a lot of pressure. And the Patriots haven't really applied a lot of pressure. They certainly didn't get any on him in the first meeting back in September. And I feel that's a big key. The Patriots are going to need to get him off the spot a little bit.
We got the inactives officially from the Patriots Twitter feed. Malcolm Williams, Nick McDonald, Marcus Zusevic, Jake Beckett, Kamar Aiken, Derek Martin, Marcus Forston. So neither of the two special teamers who we posed as potential bump-ups made it. Fells was bumped up, and the recently bumped up from the practice squad, Marcus Forston, is inactive. So Fells is the Gronk replacement. And Jake Beckett is inactive.
But other than that, basically the same that we saw last week.
Yeah, it's Fells in for Gronk.
Do we still expect it?
Now it's going to pay off to have the best third tight end in football now.
Well, I was just going to ask, what is his role in this game today, Fells?
Tight end.
How much do you expect him to play?
A lot. I think you could see. I'm not really buying the Who Man could have this big breakout game. He might have a couple catches, and he's had a couple big plays this season down the stretch as they've gotten more comfortable. I think Fells is capable of catching six balls in a game. I don't think Who Man really is. I think you could. Now, I'm not saying six for like a Gronk like 180 with two touchdowns or something ridiculous. I'm just saying, you know, I looked at the numbers last year, and it was Hernandez, Welker, Gronkowski were 18 of Brady's 22 completions in the AFC title game. And I believe Gronk was the last with five, because remember he missed time when he got hurt, came back, all that. I think Daniel Fells could catch five balls as a complimentary aspect if Welker and Hernandez are doing their thing. I think Fells, you know, people have made fun of me all year. I think he's a professional tight end. I think he's, you could do much worse than a bump up. Now, Paul's shaking and making an ugly face, but I think Fells could contribute to this offense.
It's only half his fault, yeah. What your thought on Fells?
I think that he's out there strictly emergency, extra tight end if they need it. I'm not expecting him to be much a part of this game. I think if Hernandez and Who Man are healthy, I think that's. I mean, they haven't really used a ton of three tight ends. Certainly, I wouldn't look for reasons to use three tight ends when Gronkowski's not one of them. I would not really anticipate him being a big part. But Andy's right. You never know with this coaching staff, and they might find a matchup that they want to throw out there. Who knows? But I'd be stunned. Andy said he wouldn't be surprised. I'd be stunned if he was a big part of the game.
What's the chuckling about there, Andrew?
I think Colin Kaepernick just found like a fly in his Gatorade. He was like drinking it, and then all of a sudden he stared in the cup and looked closer and closer like, what the hell is that thing floating in there?
Checking the emails to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Melvin writes in. Guys, I have the Ravens totally focused on destroying the Pats. The beauty of what I'm telling you is I don't believe what I say, but you will see it for yourself. Another fact you're overlooking is for us here in Baltimore, it's the AFC Championship game. Tomorrow's the inauguration in D.C. P.S. Watch the third quarter. So
I don't get the inauguration tie-in.
Local to D.C.
Does that have a bearing on the game?
I mean, that's what he's implying. I'm just reading his email. That's all I'm doing.
Now, what would the implication be? The Ravens going to win or lose?
The Ravens are going to win. I have the Ravens totally focused on destroying the Patriots.
Well, yeah, but what does that have to do with the inauguration? I believe that the Patriots are totally focused on destroying the Ravens, just like the Ravens are totally focused on destroying the Patriots.
Again, I'm reading.
I don't get what the inauguration has to do with anything.
He's saying the Ravens are going to win. It's a tie. It's a whole tie-in with that region.
What does the inauguration have to do with making them win?
I don't know. P.S. Watch the third quarter. I'm going to watch all four of the quarters. That's what I'm going to do.
Can I just not watch the other three? Is he giving me the permission to just watch?
That's the quarter to watch. But look, I guess how significant is the Ray Lewis aspect of this game with, especially early on, if they're flying around the field or he makes
a
big hit, you think it's crap?
I think it's crap.
Because you know, I mean, you guys were here last year.
But he does
year.
That all the time. I don't think that's crap.
Yeah,
I think he does a good job.
That's part of getting
But are they
team...
playing harder because right. he's going to retire? I don't get that.
Nothing.
Why?
Well, why would he tell everyone before the postseason then if he didn't believe it?
Because he's a dink. I don't know, because he likes to be the show.
Like, yeah, he enjoys it.
Do you really think that, like, you're not going to host a show ever again? I'm not trying any harder. I couldn't care less.
like Tony Gonzalez has stated that he's 95% sure he's going to retire. But yet you don't have any of this stuff going on in right. Atlanta. I think that part of it is Ray Lewis likes the show.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's not, I mean, is Atlanta playing harder because Tony Gonzalez might be it for him? Tony Gonzalez, every bit as great an NFL player as Ray Lewis.
Won any playoff games until it's Tony Gonzalez's last season, so I don't know, maybe.
And that's why.
No, well,
they
just,
lost with
I'm
him
just,
there before.
I'm just saying.
Right. Please. They're choking dogs. That's why they lost.
You don't think the Ray Lewis thing can snowball early on in the game?
No. I think it's irrelevant. I think Ray Lewis can be a spark plug on the field. Always has been. When he gets jacked up, I think that can be contagious. Just like Brandon Spikes is. But I think because Ray Lewis said he's going to retire is irrelevant.
And Paul agrees. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio at patriots.com. We continue with your thoughts on the Patriots and Ravens in the AFC Championship game here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. When we come back, we'll get the guys' keys to the game.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with Bill Pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparella on the Patriots Pregame Social.
Waiting for it. My goodness. Second hour of the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots Pregame Social. He's Andy Hart alongside Paul Perillo and Adam Jones. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here on Patriots.com, and you can give us a call, 508-298-0398. That's where you give all your thoughts for the Patriots and Ravens, this AFC Championship game tonight in Foxborough. But since we're a little over an hour away from kickoff in this AFC Championship game, let's get the guys' keys to the game.
You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
All right, what do you got?
Simple, easy, red zone, both sides. You know, that's an interesting one for the Ravens because everybody pictures them after last week as a team that scores from outside the red zone. But if that's limited at all and now they're in the red zone, I don't think of them as a timing-based offense that's going to run all these, you know, perfectly fluid routes in the red zone. I think that could be an issue. And then on the other side, they're good in the red zone on defense. And I said earlier, I have my concerns about this red zone offense without Rob Gronkowski. And if the Patriots get down there, and if Paul's guy, Brandon Lloyd, isn't putting on a show on the outside like he's projecting, then I think the red zone could be an issue here. And I think this is going to be a tight ball game. And usually in tight ball games, the ability to punch it into the end zone is key.
All right. Red zone's the key for him.
Yeah, I strongly agree with Andy's key. I think that is going to be enormous. And I'm going to go with another sort of equally obvious one, but always important. Our visitor from Baltimore, the Baltimore Sun, Jeff. What's his last name?
Zrebeck, I believe. I'm not positive.
I didn't want to butcher his name. Yeah. I just remembered
Jeff.
You know, Jeff.
Jeff from Baltimore.
Just because you say it like him doesn't mean you're not butchering it.
a very good point. Turnovers. The Patriots take care of the football in this game and do not turn it over. Something they almost never have problems with, but they almost always have problems with in playoff games that they lose. Turnovers. You hold on to the football, you win the game.
They were able to overcome that last year against Baltimore.
Yeah, they turned it over Brady. 3 times, I believe, in that game, and they still won the game. But obviously, it went down to the last play, and not the way that you want to see them win.
On a wing and a prayer.
He had some turnovers against the Giants in the Super Bowl, and I would even count the safety as sort of a turnover type play. You protect the football, you win the game.
EdWeezy01 on Twitter is just counting down. Less than an hour to go until the door hits you on the way out.
And this isn't Adam even Jones. The kicker.
Well, that's not true.
He hates you.
Well, that's not true.
Well, maybe he has to work and doesn't listen.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to the post. I mean, yeah, he may not make an appointment listening.
See,
but
I'm pretty sure since
there's still
he likes
a
post-game
show.
And
I think
you.
We got a loose ball if it wasn't a touchdown. We got an unbelievable. We got a melee on the field. They did not call it a touchdown on the field, but he might have been in.
Just, yeah.
Michael Crabtree, I believe, catches a quick slant. Fights for extra yardage right at the goal line, and there's about 27 people piled in a mess of humanity at the goal line.
Crabtree got hit in the head about 30 times.
We'll
going
let the dust, we'll let the
ball.
Dust settle a little bit and then actually tell you what
they
happened.
They gave the ball
in that
to
game,
the Falcons.
And Atlanta gets a stop at the goal line, and I'm sure it'll be reviewed. 13-24 well, left in that. Atlanta on top.
They execute the drive.
24-21. If they can execute that extra
no
point,
touchdown.
Let me tell you, that's what it's, that's what it's all about.
That play's going to stand.
We'll get in your phone calls.
508. Or you can do it like Paul. Ah, you made off! No, field touchdown, the ball!
508.
I don't recall doing that at all.
0398. But again, I'm sorry, EdWeezy, but I'm going to be on after the game as well. You know?
Yeah, but he doesn't listen. That's what you don't understand.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have to.
Since he hates you, he has to hear you when he listens to us.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to listen to you post-game.
No, that's a good point.
He's listening to Gresh.
How does that feel? Nice line of demarcation.
He's choosing Gresh over you.
Yeah, I've heard worse. Quickly, before we get to some of these phone calls, Ray Rice and the role that he plays in this game today, especially compared to taking away the deep ball for the Patriots, how much of a priority is he?
I think he's a huge priority. I mean, A, stopping the run. You know, we make jokes about, when's he ever killed you in the postseason? Obviously, we know a couple years ago he went 80 and the game was over. But, I mean, you look at it even this year, he's got one catch, but it was 47 yards. I mean, he's an athlete. He's a guy that can make plays all over the field, running the football. It'd be interesting to see what Pierce can offer because they have been balancing it out with him a little bit. But to me, if you don't stop Ray Rice and you're so fixated on they're not beating us deep, Ray Rice is going to kill you. He'll take little dump-offs and he'll turn them into 15-yard plays. He's going to break free for some runs. Now, I don't expect him to, you know, have 180 yards rushing or something ridiculous, but I'm just talking about in terms of moving the chains, kind of controlling the game. If you don't slow him, it's going to be a long day.
Saw a stat today on ESPN. All-time Patriots. Ray Rice averages the most yards per game against the Patriots.
Total
yards from scrimmage.
He had 150 in week three, whatever it was. Yep.
That's about what he averages, and that's the most for any running back with at least 5 games played against the Patriots. All-time. And the others on the list are guys like O.J. Simpson, John Riggins, you know, Hall of Fame running backs. Number one on the list is Ray Rice.
And see, I told you got to stop him.
And it's surprising to me because outside of the 80-yard touchdown in 2009, which was obviously a huge play in that game, but outside of that, I feel like he hasn't been a guy that's picked him apart or eaten him up.
Well, he had 100 yards in the game in September.
No, but this is what I'm saying. I mean, I guess it's been
a quiet 100.
Yeah, it's been a quiet 100.
He had 100 yards in the game earlier.
Quiet 150 is what he had in that week.
In 2009, he had 100.
Sometimes the quiet 150s or 120s are worse because they're just chipping away.
Yep.
Six, 8 yards.
Very low carries.
I'd rather
too.
Give up, you know, the old Bill Belichick on, what's his name, Tennessee. You know, if you take out the long runs, we held them in check. Yeah, but you can't take out the long runs.
Right.
I'd almost rather.
One play, 80 yards, as opposed to 10 plays, 4 yards at a pop.
We pooped ourselves on one play. We couldn't stop it. And that game, by the way, wouldn't have ended had they not had, you know, strip sacks to another touch. You know, that wasn't the only reason they lost. You can survive one 80-yard day. I don't think you can survive if he has 35 carries for, you know, 155 yards. That means they are dominating your ass at the line of scrimmage, moving the chains how they want and controlling the football.
And look, it doesn't help that, or doesn't hurt rather, that they got rid of the offensive coordinator who was keeping Ray Rice off the field. Right. And they've now handed things over to Jim
Caldwell. I think he's, by
the
way, an X-factor, Jim Caldwell. Total unknown. Is he ready for the spot as a play caller, as a game planner, what they want to do? You know, he's a guy that really has called plays for, what, a month in his career? Otherwise, he's been a quarterback's coach or a head coach. You know, he hasn't really been, you know, a career play caller, so you go back and check your notes, and, oh, this is what he likes. He's kind of a true X factor in this game, and they've been better with him calling the plays.
What's your gut telling you on him?
My gut's telling me I didn't like him as a head coach, so I probably won't like him as an offensive coordinator when it hits the fan and it's crunch time for him.
Well, I think, you know, as long as we're going to throw out, you know, 15, 20 X factors each, I'm going
to
throw.
That's what these games come down to, Paul.
I'm going
to
throw John Harbaugh
Sterling
into the
Moore.
Mix.
Did you know he was going to be an X factor last year?
Yeah.
No.
Or Lee Evans, depending on your view on that play.
Lee Evans, I thought might be.
Oh, he just hates Lee Evans because he sucked for Drew.
I'm going to find him someday. I'm going to find him someday, and I'm going to tear his ACL. I'm going to roll him. I'm going to roll him.
You were saying on Harbaugh?
Harbaugh, I think, needs to make some tough decisions, and I don't think they're decisions that he generally likes to make. Andy, you know, I know you always get tired, but I hate punting from the other team's side of the field within reason. You know, 4th and 12 from the 45-yard line, by all means, punt. Try to pin them down. But, you know, 4th and 4 from the 40, to me, that's a down you have to go for it. That's a down you have to say, I'm going to show faith in my team that I can get it. Not necessarily worrying about what happens if I don't get it. And I think John Harbaugh doesn't like to make those kinds of decisions. And I think he's going to have to do that today if he's going to be successful, because at some point they're going to have to make a play. Can you make the play? Adam, that play could be Ravens are up 3, you know, with 2.5 minutes to go, and it's 3rd and 5. Am I just going to turn around and hand the ball to Ray Rice, or am I going to see if I can make a play to get a first down to end this game with a pass? That's a play. That's a play that Bill Belichick is always willing to try. John Harbaugh has to be willing to try as well.
We'll get into your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Before we do it, let's head over to the Poll Center. What do you got, LePan?
Got to turn my mic on. Who will be today's game MVP? Tom Brady, Joe Flacco, Ray Rice, Vince Wilfork, Ray Lewis, or Wes Welker?
I'm going to go Tom Brady. Seems like the safe choice.
I don't think you can go wrong with Tom Brady.
Even when he doesn't win it, like in Super Bowls, people say he should have won it.
He should have won it.
Yeah, he's the overwhelming favorite right now. You can tell we're on a Patriots chat because not one vote for any Ravens.
Who's
player.
Second? Who's behind Brady? Because I think we'd all agree Brady.
Welker at 30% and Wilfork at 10%.
Okay, Paul, let me change his little question a bit here. If the Ravens win, who's the MVP?
Joe Flacco. He's got to play well.
Answer your own question.
You're going to go Ray Rice.
I'm going to go Ray Rice. Paul just told me he's the greatest running back in history against the Patriots.
It seems like you guys just swapped on that one.
Because I don't think they're going to be able to hand the ball to Ray Rice exclusively and win the game today. I think Flacco's got to make plays.
You can't take Paul at his word, because he told me that Tom Brady never has back-to-back good games in the postseason for the last 8 years. So
that's fact, not opinion.
I know.
You have to go back
but
to
then 2004. You picked him to be your MVP, and he had a good game last week.
Well, I didn't say I said he hasn't had back-to-back good games in the playoffs since 2004. I didn't say he will never, ever again have back-to-back good games.
So he's breaking the trend.
Absolutely. I do not expect him to lay an egg today. I think he's heard a lot about how the Baltimore defense has the formula for him.
That's true.
And
when
how he doesn't have back-to-back good
in
games.
His head, you're going to see one of those stupid spikes where he's screaming at the world. And
on a... Just because this just jarred this
Why
thought for me.
Yeah,
on the tempo for their offense today.
Tempo.
How quickly do they come out of the gate, I guess, and how quickly do they go into the high tempo, especially given some of the comments from Brendan Iambadejo earlier this week?
I think they use it today. Fred has been wondering if they go back to that turbo one that they used against Denver. I think you might see it. And I think if you do, you're going to see it early. I think they're going to come out. That's going to be a big staple with
the
game plan.
But is that a message to the Ravens for what they said, calling the offense a gimmick, or one player calling
it
a gimmick?
If they didn't think it was the right thing to do, they wouldn't do it because of that.
They would have done it anyway, you're saying.
Yeah, But I think it is the right thing to do. I think, and our buddy Jeff, I'm going to just go with Jeff now, from the Baltimore Sun, talked about it, with the fatigue factor.
Jeff in Baltimore. It's like he's a caller.
He thought that the Broncos did themselves a disservice by not sticking with it, not using it more. I don't think the Patriots will make that same mistake.
Okay, I have an interesting tweet from our friend Eric Escal up in the press box. Not sure what to make of it. PPGS, winds are swirling inside at Gillette Stadium Bowl. Ravens kicker Justin Tucker just barely missed from 63 yards out. I don't get the... winds are really swirling.
That's why I don't follow
him. 60 yards
him.
Out, he was fine. Like,
just, that's why just I don't tied the longest field goal in the history of the NFL. Wind's a big factor.
Maybe they weren't swirling when he kicked it, or I don't know. Because he did tweet that, the little orange flags were dangling, and then they were blowing. And so it looks like it's going to be a gusty wind, which to me is more dangerous.
We'll check
Not
in with
knowing
him.
When the wind is going to come is more dangerous than it just blowing all the time.
We'll check in with him when we head up to the press box a little later on here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. Let's get to these phone calls. Joel is in Atlanta. What do you got, Joel?
What's up, Adam? What's up, guys?
Hey, Joel. Doing,
man? Hey, Joel.
I think in order for the Patriots to win, I think our offensive line has to come up big today. I mean, I know everybody's been talking about Ray Lewis, but if you look at Ray Lewis, he doesn't get any sacks. All his tackles come after the line of scrimmage. I mean, when the running back or tight end has got beyond the line of scrimmage, but not really worried about Ray Lewis. What I am worried about is the blitz from the safeties or corners or from the other linebackers. But I think if our offensive line can come up big today, then of course we'll win big. But I know you guys are talking about how fast the Patriots should come off as far as the offense. I think the same game plan we had against the Texans, we should definitely use it against the Ravens, since the Ravens' defense is a little bit older.
Thoughts, guys?
I'd be surprised if they didn't use the no huddle. They used a lot of that in the red zone against Houston very effectively, and I think that's another underrated aspect of what the Patriots do. Is I think that they make a play to get into the red zone and set up a goal-to-go situation, and all of a sudden they're at the line, bang. And that last 8 yards is a breeze because they catch the other team off guard. I think they did it twice last week, maybe three times. I think the 8-yard run by Ridley and the swing pass to Vereen were both hurry up. You know, you got one play to get into the red zone, and then bang, you're in the end zone.
We now have the
very
list of things that Gary Kubiak doesn't feel the need to have calls for.
Right.
One is a call for base line up in base defense because they're going hurry up. He doesn't have a call for that. He doesn't have a call for our gunner is uncovered. Let's just run a fake to that side. So Gary Kubiak is prepared for all kinds of other game plan stuff, but when it's hitting the fan, Gary Kubiak's not ready. We'll see if the Harbaugh crew is a little more Dean Pease ready.
If I can hear Brady yelling Alabama on my TV, then you should be able to figure it out on the football field.
They were thoroughly unprepared, and the Niners have taken the lead. They forced a quick 3-and-out on the goal line and went right down the field.
I was going to say,
I just said they took the lead. They don't need the extra point to take the lead.
And it'll be what it'll be.
They're going to need to execute that extra point. It'll make it 28
execution of whatever to some other number.
Execution of the extra point pending.
Dylan writes into Web Radio.
Especially with this choking dog. You never know if he's going to miss it.
Well, I saw him checking out Aaron Andrews' ass earlier. He picked up his helmet behind her and he looked at her ass. I would have too.
Extra point executed, by the way, 28-24, with a little over 8 minutes left.
Apparently Kilgore didn't get to Gore.
Dylan writes in, do you guys see any problems for the Patriots at receiver? Last week they only had three, Lloyd, Branch, and Welker, and they have the same ones this week. If the Ravens take away Welker, do you think the offense could struggle?
Yes. Anytime a team can take away Welker, that's a good start to defending this offense. And I'll be honest, I don't think they can afford to have that drop that Welker had early that would have been a big play last week. I don't think you can afford to be looking back at a lot of those in this game. I think you're going to be in a dogfight. You can't afford to say, ooh, Hernandez dropped two of the first four that were thrown his way. I think those will be drive killers. I think those will be momentum killers. And I think those will be reasons you'll look back later as to why you lost the game. Because when you're down one of the big three, the other two need to be pretty good when you're going to be in a dogfight. When you're playing a soft team like the Texans who aren't ready, that's one thing. But I don't expect to be saying the Ravens weren't ready. And if the Ravens are ready and you make a lot of mistakes, you're going to be kicking yourself.
Yeah, I agree with you take Welker out, and obviously that's a huge first step toward slowing down this offense. But that's much easier said than done. I'm not saying it's impossible, but
punch him in the mouth or the eye and give him a black eye.
Yeah, and Andy and I asked him again this week. He doesn't know when that happened. You talked about it in his press conference.
She knew that was a big play he dropped. Bop! Wow. Tell me, boy, can't catch the ball and throw it too. That's a little Russian, maybe.
I don't have any idea what that was supposed to be.
It was not the greatest.
That was not a Brazilian.
Not the greatest accent of all time, but what are you going to do? By the way, apparently, I didn't see this. Frank Gore was doing the Dirty Bird? Is that what was going on out there?
He started, and then he kind of stopped real quick.
He waved it off.
Good for him. Let's go to the phones. Allie is in Memphis. What do you got, Allie?
I agree with you guys. I think if we don't have Welker, I think we're going to be in trouble because he really helps us, and when we don't have him, I think he protects us in ways. And I think when with having him, he's like our blocker. And so, but I still think we can beat the Ravens and make them pie like we did the Texans. We made them soup last week, and I'm a huge fan. And I'm even though I live in Tennessee now, I'll still always be a Patriots fan. And a lot of people hate me because I'm in Tennessee, and
That's not why they hate you.
Well, they do. They want me to go for the Titans, and I won't go for them.
I hear you, sister.
You stay strong. Stay strong.
They want me to go for the Titans, and I'm like, no, I'm from New England, so I'm going to.
And you want to win games
for the Patriots.
Yeah,
way to
plus
go,
you
want to
win. All right, Allie, thanks
some
for
games.
The call.
Enjoy the game, Allie. She's right. Still on the line?
Yeah, she is. She's still there. Enjoy the game, Allie. Calling us up at 508-298-0398. What?
What do they drink down in Tennessee? Jack Daniels? What? Whatever it is, she got some of it going pregame. I like it.
Let me tell you, sounds like a caller from 6 to 11 on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I can tell you that right about now.
Do you get the amount of youngsters calling that DA used to call back Damon Amendolara, 6 to 11?
We've done a nice job shuffling those out of the way, but there's a couple of them. They squeak through.
She was right.
They disguise their voices. Welker's important. Welker is important in this.
You know what I always think about in these games, and it's the pure cynic, negative Andy in me, is like, what happens if, ... You know, I won't say the first one, but, you know, Joe Flacco blows out a knee on the first play of the game.
I think about that stuff all the time.
Like, because you think of these games and we match it up and it's going to come down to Lloyd and Tlaib. Well, no, it isn't, because if Joe Flacco or Tom Brady got hurt on the first play of the game, the whole game poops apart for either team. And it's just funny to think about. Like, you don't see it all that often. You know, Carson Palmer was in the postseason, right?
Yeah.
When he got hurt.
Yeah, yeah, it was like the first or second drive.
Yeah, he threw a bomb for a touchdown
really
and got hurt on that play.
I mean, since then, has there been one major? I mean, you don't see him that often.
Rich Gannon got hurt. I don't know. I think that was less recently than that. That was like back in like 02.
But I always think of that. Or in like, 02-ish, you know, if Ray Lewis leaves on the first play of the game, everybody spends all their retirement party and Ray this and Ray that, or Aqib Tlaib. You know, there's so
Can
many of these things.
Can you imagine that, though? Can you imagine if Brady or Flacco got hurt and you had to play the whole game, like with a backup, just how different
like
that would be?
All of a sudden, Mallett's in there. That beard that needs to be trimmed.
be quite the story.
You don't think he looks ridiculous?
Let me tell you, we'd have a lot to talk about on the postgame show if
that
happened. A
lot to talk about.
Sam writes in, web radio,
Patriots.com. Show, whether any reason.
Guys, watching the NFC Championship game, I'm rooting for the Falcons. I just tuned in, but I'm guessing you've been talking a lot about which NFC the Patriots would favor in a Super Bowl against the Patriots. And look, we've not been discussing it a ton. But
we don't look ahead. One game
sitting,
at a time.
As
next
we're sitting here watching,
biggest.
Do you want the rematch with the Niners or you want the, I guess, perceived easier match with the Falcons?
It's a tough one. And as I said earlier when we were talking about the Falcons, I think the Falcons could really have a field day with this defense. I would be really concerned. You know, I've been talking about, it's not just one guy on the Ravens. It's not just Torrey Smith. Well, you know, the Falcons are that on steroids. Well, I guess that's kind of redundant. They're all that on steroids. But, you know, Julio Jones, Roddy White,
we used to have
Tony
that was
Gonzalez.
A little cliche for us that we can't use anymore.
Right. But, I mean, those weapons scare the hell out of me. And on the flip side, I think they're pansies. I'm still not sold on the Falcons. And I think that game
could
end. Well,
they've now blown a 20-point lead last week and a 17-point lead in this one.
And I think that game could end in the first quarter for both teams. I could see the Falcons just, you know, what they did today, just throwing it over the top, big plays, killing the Patriots. Or I could see the Patriots just embarrassing Mike Smith's team.
Offensively, I think the Falcons against the Patriots would be a show. But I don't see the Falcons' defense doing anything to even get in the way of the Patriots offensively. So that'd be the matchup I would rather see.
Rather see Atlanta.
Yeah, for the Patriots.
I would agree with that.
I think the Niners can score that amount of points on you, too, but they can slow you down. Now, this hasn't been a very good day for the Niners' defense
anybody seen
so
Alden
far.
Smith? He's in the witness protection program.
I got to give Matt Ryan props on this play. He stood in the pocket.
Take us through it. It's Paul Perillo play by play.
He stood in the pocket and got buried on a big third down throw and completed
third
it.
Right sideline, just past the chains.
And completed it to Julio Jones. Otherwise known as Julio.
He's not a guard, so he didn't bother to learn his name.
Andy Gresh, double check. Dunkin' Donuts, Patriots pregame social. Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Adam Jones with you here on Patriots.com. We're taking your calls, 508-298-0398, even the ones from Tennessee. And your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. When we come back, we head up to the press box and check in with Eric Scalavino here on Patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way.
In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with Better Banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England.
We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Woo! Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth. Woo!
Get inside the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Taking you up to Pats and Ravens AFC Championship game, a little over a half an hour away here in Foxborough. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. What?
I just need to recommend to our followers, and this is going to sound like a strange one, but Samuel L. Jackson is providing some very entertaining commentary on the NFC game. It's Samuel L. Jackson.
Makes sense.
His Twitter handle.
Very reasonable.
Like, he just tweeted, Tantrum/Harbaugh. SH like that makes your mom whoop that ass. Like, he just has these rant, and some of them are vulgar. So just if you're offended by that,
keep the
stuff,
kids away.
Don't
Let's
follow
keep
him.
The kids away.
Mm-hmm. And he often writes them in different ways, but when you spell it out in your, it says really dirty things. So just be careful. But he's a random, entertaining follow for a little football analysis.
Interesting.
You wouldn't think.
Interesting. Lump him in, him and Escal. Follow them on Twitter. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We'll be heading up to the press box in a little bit to talk to Eric Scalavino of Patriots.com. Right now, checking with Phil in Florida. What do you got, Phil?
Phil? Yeah, Tom Brady's going to go for his sixth Super Bowl, and the Baltimore Ravens are going down tonight.
I hear you, brother. What have you been drinking?
Mountain Dew, sir.
Oh, come on.
You got to step it up.
Philip, come on. It's almost game time.
It'll be all over at halftime, my man.
At halftime?
You really think so? Yeah, I wish I had your confidence. I think this one goes down to the wire. I think Brady may be on his way to his sixth, but he's going to have to earn it in the fourth.
I think they're
on. Did we lose him?
I can still hear him a little bit.
Gave up 400 yards on passing, and they're not playing the same team they were playing last week. So
you're right.
And I think that who would you take in the clutch? Tom Brady or that bum from Baltimore?
I would take Tom Brady.
Never the bum from Baltimore.
No.
Joe Flacco?
Yeah. Joe Flaccid.
He stinks, man.
I hear you. All right, Phil. Thanks for listening.
It's going to make it hurt a little bit more if things don't go well.
All right. Thanks,
and turn in that Mountain Dew for a Budweiser. King of beers.
Well, they were listening to Brady. What was the game? A couple
is this
years?
What you deal with that night on the sports?
That
hub,
sounds
Adam
exactly
Jones?
Like the caller.
It's got to be so much fun.
Yeah,
you know, seem like it wears off. It gets old.
It's not quite as fun as you would think. what was the game that Brady wanted everybody to get all lubed up? Yeah, what was that? That was last year, right?
Last year, a Monday night game or a Sunday night game?
I was going to say San Diego 4 o'clock game. It's a late start. Plenty of time to get lubed up.
He just meant them hydrated. He didn't want
hydrated. Yeah, that's
wanted
what he meant.
Get hydrated.
It's Mountain Dew. That's what he wanted.
Yeah. One of the 2 minute warning here in Atlanta. I like that drop.
I like Phil. Phil, call back anytime.
Anytime, Phil.
Checking in on the emails, Nick writes in, webradio@patriots.com. Guys, the Ravens defense is the first thing that comes to most people's minds in this game. For me, it isn't an issue. Here's why. In the Denver game, Manning started using the hurry up towards the end of the game, and in that span of time, there was a noticeable change in the Ravens defense. I think if we get it going early and keep jamming it down their throats with our killer hurry up offense, the game should not be difficult. Agree or disagree?
Agree. If we're jamming it down their throats with our killer hurry up, I agree.
Yeah, they won't
be
able to
keep
up. If
you go three and out with your killer hurry up, now I'm worried. And we've seen times at where they've had to put away the no huddle.
Quick runs that haven't been successful have all of a sudden led to third and longs, and then you're off the field.
And if that happens, then sometimes you got to put the little no huddle hurry up away. Paul was ready to erupt again.
Big play coming up, Andy, because fourth down plays with the Super Bowl on the line are pretty
What's better than me giving play-by-play of the guy who's giving play-by-play of a TV game on a radio show?
I've been pleasantly amused for this one. On the
it's been a great game.
On the accumulation of the plays that the Ravens have had the last couple of games, double overtime last week and then a short week the week prior, how big of a factor is that in this game?
I think it's one of those things that tell me what happens early in the game.
You know, I'll let you know later if it was effective.
If the Ravens defense can have Andy's been big on the red zone. If the Ravens defense can keep the points down early in the game, I don't think it's a huge factor. If they can't, and the fourth down pass was incomplete by Atlanta, the San Francisco 49ers will have the ball with a minute left, and I believe Atlanta only has two timeouts. So
Falcons with two timeouts, minute nine left, 28-24, and
But early in the game,
the way it should have worked out in that game, by the way, because that wasn't a catch by Harry Douglas.
If the Ravens, well, that might have been a penalty right there on the Niners, though, Navarro Bowman. If the Ravens have some success defensively,
watch the replay; you'll know what he's talking about.
Well, they're watching, Andy. I don't know why you think this is so funny every single time. I just don't get it. But if the Ravens have success early, I think the fatigue becomes less and less of a factor. Does that make sense to you? If they're all of a sudden come out, the Patriots run this no huddle. The turbo no huddle, that they did against Denver. All of a sudden, you know what? We've been on the field for like 90 plays the last 2 weeks, and we can't stop this stuff. What are we gonna do? Now I'm tired. Now I don't know what we're gonna do, and it snowballs. And I think the post game locker room is all about, you know what? We just ran out of gas.
Okay, so what do you expect to see?
I expect early. To see early.
Shane Vereen in the backfield, spread sets, throwing it, no huddle, or some Stephen Ridley traditional, blah blah blah.
The first one. I don't know if it'll be Vereen or Woodhead, but I expect to see some spread sets.
I'll be interested to see how much Woodhead
plays. But I don't think Ridley is going to be shelved. I think you're going to see Ridley, too. And if it's not on the first possession, maybe it's the second one. I think that's what the Patriots really worked hard at doing, Andy. Something you've been talking about, the money in the bank thing, about the running game.
Time to withdraw?
They've worked really hard at almost establishing two entirely different offenses.
Sure.
And I think you're going to see them both early in the game. The spread formations and the traditional running sets.
I'm intrigued.
But you also miss Gronkowski in those traditional running sets.
You miss Gronkowski everywhere.
Did you
see
the
best player on the field.
You see the stats? You had the stats, right? 23-3 with Gronkowski.
It's,
23
it's
touchdowns.
Double the interceptions and basically
three interceptions
half the game.
Without
for
him,
Brady.
It's 11 in 5.
Mm-hmm. But Fred says that doesn't matter. Not a big deal. They'll be fine.
Where do they miss him more?
On the field.
Where, in the running game or in the passing game, Andy?
Passing game. Yes, I think you can cover up the running game, and
sounds like the Ravens may be getting ready to take the field
that's
right
what
now.
I'm, getting loud out there in the tunnel.
Getting loud. Might be time for me to go. I got to get involved.
I was going to say, I wish we had one more commercial break.
Did we
duck out there?
Did we send Matt out there to get some footage of that?
he just took it upon himself to bolt out.
I mean, this is a pass-first team, and he, in the passing game, and his versatility in both, is the most irreplaceable guy. You can't replace him. I've said this before. Physically, I think he's more irreplaceable than Tom Brady. I think you can find another Brady out there. Not exactly the same, maybe, but to me, what Gronk brings to the table physically, production, and all that is as unique as you can get in sports. And I think that's a big deal in this matchup.
Thoughts, Paul?
I'm out of thoughts. I just, you know.
He just wants to do play-by-play. That's all he wants to do.
No, I don't want to do play-by-play because Andy just laughs at me, makes fun of me, hurts my feelings. But this game...
Delay a game, that's not good.
That's not what you're looking for when you're trying to run the clock out. It's okay that Andy does play-by-play. The irony's not escaping me right there. It's okay that Andy does play-by-play.
I joined the party. Okay.
To me, it's early success for the Patriots. I think the Patriots need to get ahead quickly and get Baltimore doubting that they can hang with the Patriots. Because I know that Baltimore's not afraid. We talked a lot about last week the mental side with Houston. We all agreed... Patriots are going to win that game big. One of the reasons we thought that was the case, because we didn't think Houston thought they could win. We know Baltimore knows it can win. They've won here. They've beaten this Patriots team earlier this year. They know they can win the game. So it's going to be all about how they handle early part of the game. Do they stay within a score? I think if they have to start chasing two scores, that they're not going to be able to catch up, because that puts the onus not on the offense but the defense. And our buddy Jeff in Baltimore talked about how this is the worst Ravens defense that probably in years. Their offense, to me, is much more reliable right now than the defense is. I think the Ravens will be able to move the ball and score points. But but if they can't get stops, they can't move the ball and score points like the Patriots can when the Patriots are rolling. They're not going to score 40-plus points like the Patriots are capable of.
It wasn't that long ago. I remember you came in ranting and raving about their game against San Diego. Everything except score points.
No, that's what I'm saying. They move the ball, but they don't score that amount of points. They move the ball commensurate with a team that should score like New England does. But they don't have those amount of points at the end of the games. And I don't know what the specific reason for that is, but they don't score. I mean, do you have the numbers off the top of your head what they were in points?
No.
But they have. I mean, they move the ball. They move the ball very well. They actually, I have it.
I got it right here. You talk, I'll look.
But they just do not. I mean, they had over 5,500 yards of offense this year. I mean, that's a lot of yards to gain. But you look at everything. It's kind of middle of the pack.
10th in points.
And I think that they should probably
Patriots
have an offense.
Patriots won their 10th.
Yeah, the Patriots, I'm not putting them in New England's category offensively, but they should be a little bit better in terms of points than they are. And I'm not exactly sure why. I mean,
Cam Cameron.
I think Cam Cameron, I think the offensive line. And I think this is a different offensive line for them. They've protected Flacco well the last few weeks.
And they put 31 up against the Patriots in week 3 as well. So it's not like
but everybody was doing that against the Patriots back then.
That was literally just drop back, chuck it deep. Thanks.
Right.
Remember that game? I mean, I've never seen anything quite like that game when Flacco was literally just dropping up, lobbing it down the right side and saying,
what about Russell Wilson a couple weeks later?
No, but he did one play he beat a guy on a fake. Flacco was not reading anything, was not doing, he was literally dropping back and lobbing it down the right sideline and saying, my guy's going to beat your guy every play. And I've never seen a quarterback play like that before. It's amazing. They were running basically like fades, but all over the field. Like, just, I'm going to let my guy run on under it.
Just go get it.
And now Devin McCourty's a safety because of it.
508-298-0398. It's how you give us a call. Let's check in with our buddy Chester in Portland. What do you got, Chester?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Great.
Fired up for this game. I cannot wait, Just touching on my point earlier this week, in my opinion, the big difference is going to be keeping Flacco on his ass. And, the big thing that stands on my mind since, I mentioned that is, I'm thinking Brandon Spice is going to be due for a coming out party. He's been quiet. And, we really need some turnover love this week. And I'm really being looking at that guy as being the X factor on defense to get a little something extra in terms of a pass rush and keeping that middle fogged up. I'm worried it's going to open up some things for Ray Rice, but I think we can contain that on a whole. On offense, I'm going to think Brandon Lloyd's going to be our hero today, guys. And, I just think we're going to have some room inside. I think that middle 20 yard box is going to be congested for the better part of the day, but I think if we hurry up and we keep Flacco on his back, I think we're in good shape today. But regardless, let's go Pats. I'm looking forward to a pregame social next week.
All right,
peace
man.
Out, fellas.
All right. Well, Chester, appreciate the phone call. There will not be a pregame
social. Yeah, I don't want to let Chester down, but there's not going to be a pregame social next
week.
Not
next week, not because that's the bye week, and then certainly not the week after either.
Yeah,
no, that's just a Super Bowl.
They've gone final in Atlanta, and inexplicably, I shouldn't say inexplicably, clearly Matt Ryan had the Niners plus 3.5 instead of 4. Matt Ryan just threw like a 20-yard pass down the seam.
Well, in his defense, and you and I were...
It was his left arm, but if he couldn't throw the ball deep, he shouldn't have been out there. Someone needed to throw the ball as far as they could.
It's weird that... I mean, you're right. It was his non-throwing arm, but he's favoring his...
Yeah, he got buried. I don't know if that was the fourth down play. They showed the follow-through. He got landed right on his shoulder. It was his left shoulder that... And I have no doubt that he has some sort of sprain at the very least, maybe a separation or even a collarbone. If he couldn't throw the ball, though, Andy, did you see the last play?
Yeah.
How can you put him out there? He just flipped the ball about 15 yards down the seam when they needed about 70 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah,
I feel bad for Tony Gonzalez, but what are you going to do? That's what happens
when you hit
your wagon to a BC player. That's what happens.
Yeah, they really could have lost last week too. So. Check the emails here, webradio@patriots.com. Gabriel writes in, guys, Patriots win this game. That isn't the question. What we need to beware is the Ravens injuring Patriots players. They're not a football team so much as a street gang, much like the Blue Men group of 2007. Look at the Ravens players tackling. They're dirty. They go for heads and ankles. Your guys' reaction to that?
I think they're chippy. I think they're a little chippy as a defense. Yeah.
I don't think any more chippy than any team that tries to pride itself on
playing
defense.
I mean, I watch this Niners defense play all the time, and I think they're chippy too. But you know what it is?
Are chippy.
It's great defense.
Any team that preaches getting to the football, gang tackling, that kind of stuff, okay, you're chippy. Well, you know what? I wish the Patriots defense was a little more chippy then, if that's what it takes, because that's what I want in a defense. I want a defense that's bringing people down and making them pay for, you know, I know this isn't PC in this day and age, but making them pay for yards and completions and things like that.
Another stat that I saw today, I was talking to Andy about
regurgitating statistics.
Well, I got to give
so we can't do play-by-play.
I got to give ESPN some credit. Yards after contact as a total defense.
Uh-huh. Speaking of regurgitating.
Just every play, every single play, yards after contact.
Yak, regurgitating.
The Patriots were in the mix. They were, I want to say third, but
I think
the Niners were one. I believe
Seattle
was two. The Patriots were three.
Houston was there.
Houston was four, and Pittsburgh was five. And I said to Andy, I go, one of these things doesn't belong. You know, I mean, it shows you that the teams were able to get the ball to a certain point against the Patriots' defense effectively, because from a yardage perspective, not from a points perspective, the Patriots allowed a lot of yardage, a lot more than San Francisco and Seattle did. So to be listed right with them in terms of yards after contact tells me that the Niners and the Seahawks did a much better job of stopping plays and tackling the ball, as opposed to the Patriots letting 30 yards get gained and then tackling the football when it gets there. You know what I'm saying? Yards after contact, you would think, is a, you know, if you're the same as the other defenses, you should be a similar defense, but those defenses allowed far fewer yards than the Patriots did.
Yeah, and look, we now know who the Patriots are going to be facing. We know it's going to be the Niners in the Super Bowl. What? What?
Patriots have to play a game.
Well, no, I'm saying if they get to that point,
no, you didn't say that.
Yeah. Well, sorry. Well,
you're saying we now know who the Patriots are going to be playing.
Yes, I do too. The Baltimore Ravens in about 25 minutes.
Who they would get? Excuse me. In that Niners defense, and that's
right
one
now that is being tweeted by Patriot Ravens fans all to Ray
all
Lewis
all over the
pregame
board.
Social just gave you no chance, Ray.
That would be our luck.
No weapon.
That would be our luck.
Yeah.
By the way, can I throw another X factor out there?
You
since
may.
Chester kind of did it,
yeah.
And it's kind of the theme of the show.
Yeah.
X factors. So are we saying like this game will not be won or lost by Tom Brady, Joe Flacco, Aaron Hernandez, Wes Welker? You know, it seems like we're reaching for X factors. Maybe that's the Sterling Moore syndrome, and we think that guys that we're not thinking of are going to play a factor. If so,
or Vereen last week,
Dante Hightower's a guy. Quiet, I think, has the potential. Been out there a lot. Has obviously the potential to be a factor in the running game, the passing game. Ray Rice, Dante Hightower. Don't sleep on him.
It's another one to file away, eh?
I figure if I say enough people, I'm going to be right sooner or later.
Yeah, we've thrown out like 30 X-Factors.
I'm just so tired of the X-Factors.
We just need to remember who said what so we can pat ourselves on the back.
We're taking you up to the AFC Championship game. As these guys pointed out, there's still another game before the Super Bowl.
No, we now know who the Patriots will be playing in the bayou.
And as we do during this point of each and every Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, let's head up to the press box.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Eric Scalavino, Patriots.com, joining us here on the Patriots pregame social. And Eric, one of the things we're monitoring, the wind upstairs. What's the weather like up there?
Oh, the weather in the press box is great.
Yep.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. Outside, that's a different story, though, Pac-Man. Winds are they're picking up, they die down. I guess that's why they call them gusts. But right now they appear to be gusting. And if you're a kicker kicking into the closed end zone, you're in luck for the most part, because that's the direction the wind is heading. The other side, kicking towards the lighthouse and the bridge there, a little bit trickier. The ball seems to get held up a little bit midair and comes down pretty quickly. But passing wise, haven't really seen either Brady or Flacco be affected, so I don't know if the winds are, you know, stronger a little bit higher up than they are closer to the field. But so far, the quarterbacks haven't had too much trouble getting the ball out.
How about the punters?
it, again, it depends which direction they're going in.
So it's not swirling as much because I think it's easier to deal with a wind if it's relatively consistent north to south or south to north, whichever you're. I think you can deal with that. You can get used to it. But, you know, if it starts to swirl and it's side wind, unpredictable, I think that's more of an issue.
Yeah, it looked like maybe about, say, an hour or so ago, it looked like it was kind of swirling. And I actually tweeted about that because there was one kick in particular where it was a long-range one, like a 60-plus kick from the Ravens, and looked like it had plenty of distance, but then at the last minute it sort of, like, hooked to the right. So it looked like the wind and the flags were sort of, you know, going straight back and then all of a sudden off to the side. So it looks like there was some swirling going on earlier. But right now it's looking like the south end zone is the more favorable one to kick into. But that could change. I mean, we still have another couple of hours. I think 10 o'clock is when the advisory ends. So we'll have to just see how this changes throughout the night.
And has there been much throwing yet? Have we reached that stage of the pregame, or is it still too early for that?
Yeah, they both, like I said, both quarterbacks don't seem to be affected too much. So I don't know if the winds are stronger higher up in the stadium as opposed to closer to the field. But, yeah, I haven't seen any problems with throwing from either quarterback.
Well, you know what Flacco thinks about the wind, right?
Yes, I saw what you tweeted earlier. And go ahead, I'll set you up for it.
It blows, baby!
Okay.
What else are we seeing out there? Any indication early on in the warm-ups as to, you know, how they may deal with the lack of Rob Gronkowski, sort of who the playmakers may be this week? I know we've been discussing, you know, what kind of role Shane Vereen might have. Can he be the lead guy in their spread sets? Or, you know, is Danny Woodhead going to be back out there? Have you seen any personnel groupings developing early on in warm-ups?
Well, you know, as you say that, Shane Vereen just took a handoff from Tom Brady with a lead blocker in front of him. And I believe that was Daniel Fell. So it looked like they had some of the twos in there just now. But I'm seeing two tight end sets still with Hernandez and Homan, Welker and Lloyd as your wide receivers. But again, you know, we see a lot of things in warmups that don't necessarily translate come game time. But that's what I'm seeing right now.
Eric, what is the buzz in the press box? Because obviously we know this is the biggest game that you can host here at Gillette Stadium and extra media in attendance. And it just seems like, you know, everybody, you know, our own host, Adam Pac-Man Jones, just said, we now know who the Patriots are going to play in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Referring to the 49ers.
I heard him.
Does the general tone up there a foregone conclusion?
I don't know, because people have been riveted by this NFC game. Honestly, that was a thrilling game. I came right down to the end. So I think most people have been focused more on that. I haven't heard many people really talking about it. But the few people I have talked to in here about this game tonight are a little apprehensive, honestly, for the Patriots' sake. I think a lot of them are feeling what the Ravens have been feeling all week, and that they're a confident team. They've come here before. They've won a playoff game here before. They won earlier this season over the same team. And, you know, confidence is huge at this time of year, and the Ravens are playing with that right now.
Eric, any indication about Chandler Jones, how he'll be used in this one for warm-ups?
It looks like, he was in his normal spot on the right end with Rob Ninkovich on the other side. He was listed that full participation upgraded on Friday. He was probable. He's active, obviously. I don't see why he wouldn't be on the field as usual.
All right, Eric Scalavino, Patriots.com, joining us from the press box. Eric, as always, thanks so much for the time.
All right, guys.
All right, Eric Scalavino joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social as we take you up to Patriots and Ravens. Monitoring the tweets.
yeah, we should probably add that.
Chandler Jones lined up with the second team right now. Francis and Ninkovich are the starting ends.
According to all the tweets.
According to everyone watching the warm-ups, so that's what's going on up there.
I don't care for it. I like Justin Francis as a rotational guy, but you know that was one of my concerns coming. I think I talked to you on your show about this. Chandler Jones, if he's limited, I don't think
could be gamesmanship.
I don't think you have enough depth there to have a guy out there a lot, and I think that's something that they could really take advantage of. We talked about their offensive line is playing better. We talked about maybe some pressure would be nice on Joe Flacco to keep him from just sort of lofting the ball up there. If Chandler Jones is limited significantly, if he's only 80% of himself, and if Justin Francis is playing even a third of the snaps more than he normally would, I have my concerns about that. I'm not sure they're good enough up front to really win this battle in the trenches without Chandler Jones.
Yeah, I think it's a bad situation. Clearly, I am not as dire about it as Andy is, but yeah, I think you need to get some pressure on Flacco without selling out to do it, and I think Chandler Jones being healthy gives you the best opportunity for that. But I don't think that's the case. Even if he plays, I don't think he's going to be quite himself. But at the same time, I don't think that's nowhere near the impact that, like, say, Gronkowski's injury on the other side of the ball could impact the team. I think you can get by. I think defensively they can pretty much get by without anybody. Will Fork maybe a glaring exception, but defensively I think they run a lot of bodies out there that are all kind of the same. And I have enough reasonable faith that they can be disruptive enough to get by.
Since the Patriots will be playing the Niners in 2 weeks. No, just kidding. Before we get out of here, your final thoughts on this game between the Patriots and the Ravens?
Well, yeah. I've felt the same way over the last year and a half when these teams play. I don't
love
know where
it.
To go.
Love
yeah,
these
no,
games.
It's definitely become Colts-Patriots. It's now Ravens-Patriots. They live up to the hype. There were, I will say I think the wind is affecting the direct TV feed because every TV in our
all of a
room
sudden
is
we,
flickering, flashing.
Icky Baluki on the TV screen.
But, I can talk myself into either of these teams winning. Obviously, the home field advantage I think is big for the Patriots. And, maybe Brady's due to finally play back-to-back good postseason games, make some plays down the stretch. But I won't be surprised with whoever wins this game tonight. Your post-game show, if you're saying, wow, Joe Flacco got over the hump, I won't be surprised. Or Tom Brady's going to number six, I won't be surprised. I can tell if anything you say to me, I feel like I could counter with something for the other team. I think it'll go down to the wire.
Nothing surprises Andy Hart, yeah.
The only thing that would surprise me is a blowout. I think that...
either way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I would be... You'd need the paddles if the Ravens blew the Patriots out, but... Even the Patriots blowing the Ravens out would be a surprise to me.
Yeah.
I think this is a close game. I think the Patriots are better. I think
so
they
something
have,
would surprise Andy Hart.
They have the home field. They have the home field. I think they are playing better than Baltimore right now.
But did you hear Ray Lewis is retiring?
I think they're feeling pretty confident in themselves. I know the Ravens are confident. I know the Ravens have faith that they can come here and win. But at the end of the day, they still haven't done it. And this is the third time they'll be in the conference championship game in 5 years. They're on the road for the third time in those three games, and they have only themselves to blame for that. They were 9-2 after 11 games, and with a win over the Patriots in their pocket, and they just couldn't hold on to it. This game very easily could have been played in Baltimore, but they have only themselves to blame. And I think these games are so close, Adam, that that finish by the Ravens could be the difference in this game. The fact that it's here and not there, I like the Patriots. By a little.
What's the score prediction?
27-24.
Andy?
27-24.
You're the same?
That was actually organic.
That's what we did.
We picked it on Thursday, and we had no idea what we were going to say, and we both picked the same score.
I got Patriots 31-28, so they will be playing the 49ers.
You're indeed, way off.
Indeed, in a couple of weeks in New Orleans.
That'll do it. Say 28-25.
Now, will you be there? Will we see you in New Orleans?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think they
night show?
I don't think they send the night
guy. Not a lot of activity at Radio Row at night?
I've never been. Is there not? I don't know.
I don't think so. I've never been on Radio Row at night.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot going on down there. So I don't think I'll be seeing you guys down there, but that'll do it for the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Stay tuned for the AFC Championship game, and I'll talk to you after right here with the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
I gotta work.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Miami Dolphins.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks, he fires to the right, and is picked up at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Speed all the way down to the 30. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.